This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Ringgit and Sense on BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're now listening to Ringgit and Sense, the show that's all about personal finance. I'm Roshan Kanesan. It is the last month of 2020, which means you've got another 27 days or so to maximize your tax reliefs for your next tax filing. And this has nothing to do with Budget 2021, but instead, Budget 2020. So to help jog your memory about the tax reliefs to maximize and a little bit of a refresher on tax basics and best practices when filing, I'm speaking with Tane Malay, Managing Director of Tane's Tax Consulting Services. Tane, welcome back to Ringgit and Sense.
Yeah, good morning. Good morning to you, Roshan.
Always great to have you on the show, Tane. So before we get into all the tax reliefs that we should be paying attention to from Budget 2020, I'd like to do a little bit of a refresher on some of the key terms when it comes to taxes in Malaysia. Let's start it with this. Tane, what is chargeable income?
Yeah, very simple. Chargeable income in simple terms is just taxable income. But when you talk about an individual, let's ignore, you know, people with businesses. A simple salaried person will receive actually income, salary income, rental income, and interest income. Those are the kind of common income. The next thing he does is we call it that is gross income. And so you bring in the different types of gross income, the salary income, the rental income, because interest income is not taxable. It's exempt, you know, most of it, because you earn it from fixed deposit and with all the banks and institutions, it'll be mostly exempt. It should be exempt. Therefore, it doesn't enter your tax computation or your tax returns at all. So you take your rental income and you take individual, the salaried income, and you bring it in. So there are two types of income, and then you bring it in. You call that now aggregate income. The next level is aggregate income. And then what you do is you, from aggregate income, if you're providing donations to charities, to approved charities, then you deduct your donations from your aggregate income. The next level you come to is what I call total income. The total income at that stage is where you deduct your personal reliefs. So you get all your personal reliefs and then you arrive at your chargeable income. That is the amount of income that will be subject to tax at the different slab rates. It'll start from zero. It goes up to 30% for somebody earning more than 2 million ringgits effectively. So that's what it is. So chargeable income is the amount of income that will be subject to tax after reliefs, after donations, and after all the deductions. And when we talk about deductions, Roshan, we are talking about deductions that are available in order to perform your duties. For example, if you're a salaried employee and you are spending money in order to undertake your work. You have to travel. So you've got these expenses. So you can deduct the expenses on your petrol, expenses like that, or your bus fares or your MRT fares in order to go not to your place of work. Say you have to visit a client. You have to visit the business, you know, the suppliers, the clients. Then to do that, to further your, you know, to further and pursue, you know, it is in the course of doing your work, you have to spend money, you will claim deductions. That is what we call a tax deduction. So there are these differences between tax deductions. Tax reliefs are automatically given to you. Tax deductions, you have to prove that you've spent the money. And then approved donations, you must have the receipts. So that's the basic principle.
Right. So, Tane, in that explanation there, what you've also given us is a bit of a explainer of the differences between tax reliefs, tax deductions, and also a bit on tax rebates, right? These are terms that sound very similar, but effectively are different.
Rebates, you've got to be careful.
Could you elaborate on that?
Rebates is a different thing. Rebates, once you arrive at the chargeable incomes, let's say 50,000 chargeable income, 100,000, let's say 100,000 chargeable income, let's say you're paying tax of 20%, 20,000. You know, there's a certain amount. Up to the 400 ringgits, you know, the first 400 ringgits. So from your tax payable, you first have your total taxable income. You apply your tax rate. You come to your tax payable. We call that tax payable. From the tax payable, you deduct the rebate. So the rebate is deducted against tax payable. So it's you shouldn't confuse it because relief is at the higher end, you know, before you arrive at your taxable income. This is at the payable stage. Rebates are offset against tax payables.
Yeah, I just wanted to get clear on that, right? Because the deduction is from the income itself. The relief helps to reduce your chargeable income. And the tax rebate happens at the very end once you have your tax payable calculation, right?
And for the Muslims, they can offset whatever tax that they are paying, they can effectively pay zakat or fitra. That fitra is also at the rebate level, which means it's against the tax payable. So if you're a Muslim, you can contribute to zakat and fitra, and it'll be offset against the payable, which means that fund, that money will go into a separate fund. It'll go to an Islamic fund, whereas the normal taxpayers' funds will go into the consolidated fund, which is used for, you know, for everything else for the government.
Just one more thing there, Tanya, about the tax deduction. You were mentioning about how you could use that against if you're doing things for work. Does that apply for salaried employees? Are we talking only about business owners and freelancers, that sort of situation?
No. It is for salaried employees. If they have to go out and perform their duties and they have to incur expenses in order to actually carry out their work. For example, if you're a salesman who has to go out and get the orders and he has to actually spend money in traveling. Now that travel, you know, the expense is offsettable. It is offsettable because if he uses the taxi, if he uses his car, he uses whatever it is, he claims. So he can offset it, yes.
So it has to be directly attributed to work.
Now, directly attributable to work.
Right. And if the company, say, pays me back directly, I can claim from the company. Can I still be inputting that into the tax deduction?
No. Well, if you've been reimbursed entirely for the expenses you've incurred, say on a mileage claim, you've been reimbursed, you cannot make another claim. No.
Great. I just wanted to be very clear with that.
Now, absolutely.
When it comes to income recognition by the tax authority, Thane, it's important to note that this isn't limited. I think as you noted earlier, it's not just to salary. You know, it can include other sources of income that aren't specifically listed as tax exempt. Now, this can be a bit of a gray area, can be a bit confusing to some. So what are some common misconceptions when it comes to taxable income? And what's a general good rule of thumb to help us help guide us here?
Simple. When it is tax exempt, that is completely removed from taxation, you do not bring it into the tax return at all. It is entirely exempt. The word is it's exempt from taxes. It's outside, effectively outside, if you want, the tax system itself. Say, for example, if you receive compensation for loss of employment, like currently, unfortunately, many people are receiving, they will be exempted. They'll be given, say, each year of service, they'll be given, let's say, 20,000 ringgit. So he's worked for 30 years, so he gets 600,000. What will happen is you are exempted for each year you'll be given now from this year and next year, 20,000. So if you worked for 20 years, you will get 400,000. So the 400,000, you will only declare 200,000 in your tax return because you receive 600,000. The 400,000 is exempt. When I say exempt, you never bring the 400 and you don't deduct it. You just show 200,000 as taxable income. That's it. You pay tax on it because of 400,000. The other one that's quite common is retirement gratuities. When someone retires at the age of 55 and he gets a retirement gratuity, the full sum will be actually exempt from tax. So you don't bring it to tax in the return at all. You know, pensions that people receive, that's also not subject to tax. They don't bring it in. The other one that they don't bring it in is quite common is dividends. You know, dividends are single, you know, it's already taxed at the company level. It is exempt. And interest, like, for example, your fixed deposit interest, that's also exempt. So you don't bring it in. So these are the kind of common. And if you bring income from overseas, you know, if you have earned income overseas, let's say you're working in Singapore, you bring the income to Malaysia, you are also, it's a foreign source income because you've already paid tax in Singapore and the source of that income is in Singapore. We call that foreign source. And the people who live in Johor who bring that money in, they're not subject to tax on the Singapore income. That's foreign source income. So that's also exempt.
A random example here or something to maybe give us a bit of color here, Tane. What if I buy and sell sneakers? I'm trading sneakers, which I think has been quite popular recently. Are the gains from that taxable and how would that work?
That you are subject to tax, even if you're an individual, because you have gone in with the intention of buying and selling the sneakers, which means you went in with the intention to trade or to intention to make a profit, so to buy and sell. So there is, even though you do it on a one-off basis, you can be caught because it will be regarded as something called adventure in the nature of trade. So you have gone into an adventure to trade, even though it's a one-off thing. Say, let's say you buy 200 or 1,000 sneakers, it's not a problem if you buy one and sell. Nobody will know anything about it. You know, that's not where they're going to go after. But if you buy 1,000 sneakers and if you start selling it on the roadside, and you say, look here, you know, then you are trading, even though you tried it only once. Say, for example, you tried it for 1 week and you stopped. You are now within the system because you are into its trading income. It is not capital. And remember, the basic principle in this Malaysian tax system is there are one or two principles. Is number one, capital, anything of a capital nature other than real property is not subject to income tax, because capital gains we do not tax except on real property. One. Number two, we are territorial, which means we only tax income that is generated in Malaysia, where the source is in Malaysia. If the source is outside Malaysia, we do not tax. If you have income in Australia and rental income or rental income in UK, we don't tax you in Malaysia. We are one of the very few countries. In fact, we are only Singapore, Hong Kong, Malaysia does this. All the others are what we call world scope income. All your income in the world will be brought to tax in that country. Malaysia does not do that. So those are the simple differences in terms of that. So adventure, so in your case, the sneakers, yes, you'll be caught not as normal business income, but adventure in the nature of trade.
Last question on income. What's the line between having to file for tax and not having to file for tax?
You should only file for tax when you have chargeable income and you have assessed, you know, you've got basically income that will be subject to tax. And let me tell you, if you're only an employee earning, if you're an employee only earning salaried income and you're subject to the monthly deduction of tax by your employer, you can choose not to file a return at all, whether you are taxable or not, because you've already paid the tax and you should have no other income, no rental income, no other income, which means you only have salaried income and you're subject to what I call a monthly deduction of tax. You don't file a return. You can keep quiet. You're finished. All your obligations on tax are over. However, if you have, you know, the other person is, if you choose to file, then you should only file if you are accessible to tax. Say, for example, an individual, you know, if you take a simple individual who's entitled to all the various reliefs, EPF, SOXO, PRS, and everything else, there are so much reliefs. In fact, he could be entitled to, and he, you know, will only be, and let's say he's got about 29,000 ringgits worth of reliefs, if you think about it, if he supports his parents and education and everything else he does, he will not be taxable until he earns about 57,000 ringgits a year, which is about 5,600 ringgits, you know. So if he has never filed a tax return, this gentleman who's got no children, not married, single, until he earns more than 5,600, really, he does not need to open a tax file. But once he opens a tax file, then he has to start filing his return. Remember, you can't just simply say, I've got no income, I won't do anything about it, I've got zero income this year. You must carry on filing. I will advise you to keep on, even if it is a zero, keep filing a zero return.
Right. And again,
otherwise, we have problems with the authorities.
Right. So once you've started, just keep going at it, even if you had zero income. But that 5,600 ringgit example you used there, Tanya, was of course after you offset from the exemptions and the tax reliefs and the like.
Reliefs,
right?
Yes. Yeah. I'm calculating the man has got about 29,000 ringgits worth of reliefs, you know, because he's educating himself 3,000. He's got PRS 3,000, SOXO 250, EPF 4,000, you know, personal relief of 9,000. And also he's got life assurance of 3,000. You know, I've taken all his reliefs into account. He's got roughly about 29,000 worth of reliefs.
Great. And Tanya, we're going to dive into some of those reliefs in just a little bit. I've been speaking with Tanya Malay, Managing Director of Tanya's Tax Consulting Services, and you've been listening to Ringgit & Sense on BFM 89.9. Welcome back to Ringgit & Sense, the show that's all about personal finance. I'm Roshan Kanesan. Today, we're talking about taxation and tax reliefs you should be paying attention to as the year comes to a close. Now, Tanya, on to some of the good stuff here. Towards the end of the session just now, you talked about the variety of tax reliefs that we get from Budget 2020. So let's start with a more widely applicable set of reliefs here, like the 9,000 ringgit for self and dependent, 4,000 ringgit for EPF, and 250 ringgit for SOXO. This is pretty much applicable to everyone who's employed. So are these essentially automatic reliefs?
These are reliefs that you have to just claim. If you go into your tax assessment, into your assessment forms, you will actually make a claim. These, you have to make a claim. There are boxes there and you have to actually say how, you know, that you are entitled to it. So it's very simple. They actually will state it. So you have to make a claim, number one. So you have the self and dependent relief. And if your wife is not working, you're also entitled to another 4,000 ringgits of wife relief if she's not, and you do a joint assessment. EPF is 4,000, SOXO 250. But don't forget, you also have life assurance of 3,000, another 3,000. And if you happen to be somebody who is young, who's gone into the PRS, which is retirement fund, in the private retirement PRS, then you have another 3,000 for that. And now for self-education, whether you're doing professional qualifications, your doctorate, your masterate, master's degrees, you get 7,000 if you spend on that. So you've got a lot of allowances. And then you also got allowances where you're supporting your parents. You've got the latest, you know, you've got your parents' allowance, you know, you've got all these allowances. So there are a whole bunch of allowances that's available. And also, if you want deferred annuity, and PRS is 3,000, as I mentioned. Then you've got, you know, if your mother remembers a year or two ago, they came up and said breastfeeding equipment, you know, you were buying, if you're the mother, then you've got 1,000 ringgits. And you have, don't forget, if you've got children, you've got the SSPN, which is very good, 8,000 ringgits a year, you get an allowance. Each unmarried child is 2,000 if it's below 18. If it is above 8, if the child is above 18, then the allowance actually goes, it's higher. It's another, you know, for each unmarried child above 18, he's receiving education, then there's another 2,000. So it can go up to 8,000 because these children actually will be studying in tertiary, you know, be studying in educational institutions. So that if he's above 18 and studying, he will get 8,000. And medical expenses for parents, you know, it's 5,000. You can be supporting each one of you. So if you have you and your wife are on a separate assessment, each one can be contributing 5,000 separately. And medical expenses for serious diseases, etc., for yourself, and medical checkup, remember, 6,000 you have. And don't forget the last one that's very interesting is lifestyle. Lifestyle is for your sports and buying, you know, badminton rackets or tennis rackets and whatever, buying your smartphones and computers. 2,500 is available. But now you have another 29 days or 30 days for you to spend up to 5,000 if you want to buy computers, tablets, and mobile phones. So you have this year, they've given you 2,500. Then you have the usual lifestyle relief of another 2,500. So up to 5,000 you can spend. So if you go out there and spend 6,000 in one receipt, you will get up to 5,000. So these are the kind of common allowances, you know, that you shouldn't miss out. You can claim the reliefs up to 31st December.
So, Danny, what you've basically told us there is all the core the core reliefs, right? That's pretty much all a big chunk of the list. But of course, you should go and check the list out yourself. And Danny, just for clarification's sake, if the relief is for 2,500 or 5,000 ringgit or the 8,000 ringgit, it's based on your expenditure against that relief, right? You don't get the entire amount as a relief.
Some items you get it automatically, like your personal relief, you don't have to produce records. But when it comes to the lifestyle expenditure, where you are expected to spend the money on the tennis rackets, badminton rackets, or paying for the gym, you have to show the receipts because you've got to look at it. If it's a wife relief, automatic. If you have to spend money on your parents' health care, you've got to get receipts for it. If it's on your medical care, you must spend. When it comes to child relief and it becomes, you know, that, no problem. You just get it automatically. But life assurance, you must produce the receipt in the premium payment that you have made. So some cases you have to, some cases it's given to you automatically. You got to look at it. Actually, Roshan, it's very, very clear when you go and look at your tax return, there is at the back of the tax return, there is explanatory notes. That's many, many pages of it. Please have a look at it. Read it. Many people don't. It's practically, most of it is there. It's all, you know, this is available to you. Read it and you can make a proper claim.
All right. Tani, before we wrap up, I'd like to talk about some of the best practices when it comes to the actual tax filing. What are the three most important things to do when we file our taxes next year?
I think, first of all, make sure all your income, including non-salaried income, you have accounted, even if you have received monies from speaking engagements and others, bring it into tax, because at the end of the day, you don't want authorities to find out and come and penalize you. Number two, take all the deductions, look through all the reliefs first. look at the deductions you're entitled, because remember, whenever you are spending money in order to further whatever you're doing, whether it's for your generating the rental or the salaries, if you have to spend money, look at it and see whether you can get the maximum deductions. That's another thing. The third one is keep records. Record, and keep records. Because nowadays, the tax authorities are really sticky about records. If you don't have it and they audit you, they take the position that it's your responsibility. You know, it's called self-assessment. Unfortunately, at the moment, the tax authorities are very keen on collecting taxes. So that level of compassion seems to have come, it's a little less these days. It's becoming clinical in collecting taxes. So be careful. You don't expect, sympathy. You stand up by your rights, which means keep your records and claim what you should do.
And how long should we be keeping those records for, Tane?
7 years.
All right, Tane. On that note, I'd like to thank you for joining me today.
You're welcome. Thank you very much. It's a pleasure.
I was speaking with Tane Mele, Managing Director of Tane's Tax Consulting Services, and you've been listening to Ring It In Sense, the show that's all about personal finance. I'm Roshan Karnison for BFM 89.9.
Ring It and Sense on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.